Hey there, my name's Oisin Lunny and welcome to Audio Talks, presented to you by Harman. And in this episode, we are going to explore the awesomeness of Auracast. We are recording live at the heart of IFA in Berlin, so you might notice a little background noise. I'm delighted today to be chatting with a dynamic duo who can unpack this powerful new technology to connect the entire world of audio in a brand new way. We're going to find out what it is, how it works, what it means, and why it's awesome. So welcome to the podcast, Senior Director of Market Development at the Bluetooth Special Interest Group, Chuck Sabin.
Hi, thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you so much for joining us. You are rocking the Bluetooth branded merch there, I need to explain, for our podcast guests.
And it's Sabin, by the way.
Oh, Sabin,
yes,
I beg your pardon.
No, that's okay. People do it all the time. No worries.
Okay. Chuck Sabin for the win. Brilliant. Thank you very much. And we are delighted to welcome back to the podcast, I think for the third time now. Is that right?
Think so, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. You're like a podcast OG. You are, of course, the director of the global category Communication Headphones and Wearables BU at Harman International. Welcome back, Mikael Herrier.
Good to be here again.
Great to have you back. Okay, so before we get going, I'm going to turn over to Chuck wearing the Bluetooth branded merch over there. And given that you're with the Bluetooth SIG, can you explain for the complete novice what Bluetooth is and how do you work with it?
Yeah, so I do mostly new market development. So trying to drive new market opportunities for Bluetooth technology. And, you know, when you talk to people about Bluetooth technology, just to kind of answer your question about what it is, you know, when you mention the name Bluetooth, most people hold their hand up like they've got a telephone in their ear and they say, oh, you mean that technology that's in my phone? And so most people know it for wireless connectivity between your phone and, let's say, your car or your speakers. Some know it for, you know, smartwatches and so on as well for your various connectivity. And people will generally point to that. But the technology itself can connect almost anything. You know, we like to say, from tools to toys to toothbrushes, Bluetooth connectivity provides this ability to turn any device effectively into a connected device.
Nice, fantastic. And we are, of course, sitting here with a fine Scandinavian gentleman. And with a nod to Mikael's heritage, could you share with us the fascinating origin story behind the Bluetooth name and the logo? Because I really love it.
So effectively, there were a few companies that came together to essentially cut the cord for accessory devices. It was Intel, Ericsson, and Nokia. And when they first started, you know, they were trying to figure out, you know, what do we want to call this technology? How do we want to refer to it? And as they thought about the fact that they were coming together and they were uniting themselves to try to go to this common effort of cutting wires for accessory devices, they thought through, there was this gentleman by the name of King Harald Bluetooth Gormson. And he went by Bluetooth because he had a dead tooth, and that became the nickname, was Bluetooth for that individual. And they thought, well, we're uniting ourselves, and now there's this King Harald that was uniting Denmark and Norway. So let's just call the technology Bluetooth, and we'll just refer to that as the code name. Well, as years of development went on in Bluetooth, the name just sort of stuck, and it got to the point where it was, you know, okay, well, what do we really want to call this when it goes out to the market? And so there were lots of options that were thrown back and forth, but everyone continued to come back to Bluetooth and said, why change it at all, right? Let's just be unique and we'll just keep it at Bluetooth. And so that's really how the name just generally stuck. It was a code name that turned into ultimately a product name. And the logo itself was actually a design from, there's these Frothic runes, and you have the Harald Bluetooth HB. So the runes H and the runes B brought together forms the Bluetooth logo that everybody knows and sees on all of their devices today.
Wow, it's all named after a rotten tooth. I absolutely love it.
Yes. Yes.
A badass Viking rotten tooth is why we're all connecting. That's brilliant. And of course, we are recording here today at your booth in the heart of IFA in Berlin, and you are sharing some very big news about a new development in the world of Bluetooth called Auracast. So again, for our listeners, could you explain what is Auracast and what does it mean for the world of audio?
So we are here in Berlin, as you said. We are under what we would think of the historic Funkturm communications tower here in Berlin. So if you want to look that up, I know it's an audio podcast, but if you look it up, you can see exactly where we are today. And so when you think about the historic nature of that communications tower, we're here talking about Auracast. And Auracast is a new broadcast capability from Bluetooth technology that effectively, if I was to simplify it, effectively allows any device, a transmitter device, to broadcast a Bluetooth audio signal to an unlimited number of receivers that are in range. So for the audio world, what that really means is that you now have this ability to share audio with your family and friends around you if you want an audio experience for the people around you. No more having to share your earbuds back and forth with individuals. But it also further for that actually provides an audio capability for public spaces to be able to provide audio experiences to people who come into those public spaces using their headphones, earbuds, or even hearing aids in those public spaces.
Oh my goodness. So that's like a whole world of possibilities. I'm going to be coming back to you to ask for a few of those examples, but the possibilities are really endless already. But Mikael, coming over to yourself, you know, we've been diving into the Scandinavian heritage there with the story of Mr. Bluetooth, King Bluetooth himself. But talk to us a bit about the cool new technology in Auracast in terms of how it's transforming the incredible work that you and the team are doing over at Harman and JBL.
Yeah, I think Auracast is a great opportunity, but also consumer technology. It also fits well into our strategy of being content and device agnostic, enabling the consumer to use products cross category, cross type of product, all within audio, that be a speaker, headphone. So that's kind of amazing.
Fantastic. And we are buzzing here at IFA. You've got a pair of these gorgeous new JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds on the table here. They are just amazing. Can you share with our listeners why everyone is excited about these devices and what makes them unique in terms of the connectivity?
I have to go back 2 years, actually, to start this journey. 2 years ago, we announced to the world the first true wireless with a smart charging case, actually taking the control of the device out of the phone and putting it on the charging case, enabling the consumer to navigate features, all their settings, kind of disconnected from a certain device, the phone, as an example. So 2 years later now, we bring the second generation, and we really stepped up our efforts in that device. It's not only about control, but also about broadcasting music with Auracast, enabling, a wider listening space, but also, again, consumers to share more with Auracast, or even transmit audio from the case to yourself, wirelessly breaking the barrier between device, of course, connectivity, but also audio source as well. So it's pretty amazing.
That is amazing. It's a real game changer. The tech is incredible. You know, as well as the functionality and the engineering under the hood, they're a real step up in terms of how they look, in terms of how they feel, how they function for the end user. You must have had a lot of fun with the team making them. Talk about how our listeners should kind of be looking at these devices. You know, what is there in terms of the upgrade from the previous listening experience?
Visually, you will see that there is a design evolution from the previous generation, but the Tour Pro 3 for us is a complete new build. It has taken a while to get on the table. It's our most advanced headphones ever produced. It features the best noise cancelling we've ever put in a device, the best connectivity, the best audio as well. So yeah, it's been a fun development, and it's really now amazing to see it hitting the markets and the feedback we're getting as well.
Phenomenal. Have you been working on this literally for years with your team, and now is the time that they are meeting the world and getting this feedback? I mean, that's so exciting.
Exactly. Yeah, that's actually what's happening. And then, I mean, it's really rewarding to get the feedback, but it's also really nerve-wracking when you launch it, because we are convinced, but we have to convince the world as well. And we're getting that feedback now, and that's amazing.
Excellent. Well, rightly so, my friend, rightly so. Okay, Chuck, coming back to yourself now, you kind of opened the beginning of a can of worms there earlier, talking about this incredible kind of infinite connectivity that is inherent in Auracast. So we know about the tech, you were telling us about it earlier. We know what the leaders of audio technology are doing with it, with these amazing new earbuds. But what does a day in the life of an audio lover look like with Auracast?
So I'll set a scene for you effectively. So let's think about this conference where we are. We're here at IFA, and you will travel. Let's say you're traveling here to IFA. Now, part of the day in the life of someone with Auracast in that scenario is, if you arrive at the airport, what's one of the first things, if you're early to the airport, what's one of the first things that you might do when you go to the airport? Maybe you'll go get some food, maybe you'll get a drink, or something like that, something along that line. And what you see in the bar, as an example, is TVs on the screen, playing a soccer match or a football match or some other type of scenario on the TV. But there's no audio associated with it. You're getting a visual experience, but you're not getting any audio experience, because they don't want to continue to create more noise pollution in the airport. With Auracast, you can turn those televisions into a broadcast audio source. And so while you're at the bar, you can actually scan for and see the various broadcasts of TV1 or TV2 as an example, and select that broadcast, and you can start listening to that game directly into your own personal earbuds, headphones, and or hearing aids if you've got hearing loss. Now, that's probably the first thing that you could potentially do in that day in the life. But if you continue that scenario at the airport and you go to your gate, what's one of the challenges that we all have at a gate in an airport? You may be at gate B23, but you're hearing announcements from 24, 25, 26, 27, all kinds of audio is going on. You don't know what's going on. It's confusing to individuals. Now, in the future, what you'll be able to do is subscribe to that broadcast of that particular gate, and all then you're hearing is the announcements associated with your particular gate directly into your earbuds.
My goodness, I literally missed a flight from Detroit recently because I couldn't hear what they were saying. The announcement wasn't on the screens. They said it verbally, and a lot of people missed that flight. So that would be incredible. So this will have a big impact also in terms of hearing accessibility. Am I right?
So it has its roots in hearing accessibility, right? That's where, you know, people who need an audio experience where they might not have been able to get it before can now get that through Auracast broadcast audio in those public spaces. Maybe it's a train station, or it's an airport. Maybe it's the cinema or a theater, or anywhere that you have maybe difficult hearing the individual or the audio that's being provided to you, you now have this ability to hear it directly into your hearing. And it's called direct audio to the listening device is actually one of the most effective ways to help people who are impacted by hearing loss.
Fantastic. This is going to have a huge impact. I'm really excited about this. Mikael, I'm going to come back to yourself sitting next to these two pairs of JBL Tour Pro 3s. Talk to me a bit about how I might be using these specific devices. Say, you know, I've spent some time at the sports bar with Chuck, you know, I've tuned in via Auracast, had a beer, had a look at what's happening on the screen, but then I'm on the flight. I mean, can it improve that situation there?
Absolutely, but I also want to step back into the scenario of Chuck here, because when you arrive at the airport, you said you put on a podcast or you do listen to music or you tap into Auracast from gate. All of this is enabled on the Tour Pro 3 on the case. So when you rock up at the airport, you take out your smart device, you choose your source directly on the smart charging case instead of going onto your phone or anything like that. You can even transmit to your friends at the bar, at the sports bar, from a different device if you want to, if you want to share your podcast or if you want to share your music, all from that headphones without the use of your phone. That's pretty unique. Also at the gate, you can always have the smart charging case next to you and connect to any broadcast around you. But then when you're on the flight, the second use case comes in. And that's actually when you broadcast to yourself directly, one-to-one listening. Because we all have been on a long-haul flight. We have that little cozy screen, a lot of entertainment. You have a wireless headphone, but there's no way to connect to it. On this Tour Pro 3, you connect it via cable to the smart case. That will automatically broadcast to your buds. So you get an amazing experience. But on top of, you can also add spatial sound with head tracking. So you get an immersive cinematic experience in that tiny little seat, depending on where you're sitting in the airport or airplane, of course, but you get that experience.
That is just incredible. Okay, one of my takeaways from this podcast is the three of us need to go to a sports bar someday in an airport. But talk to us, Mikael, what are some of the tech innovations happening under the hood that you and the team, because this is new stuff. This is like completely new stuff, broadcasting to the earbuds, you know, plugging into all of these devices around the place. What are some of the cool tech things you've been doing with the team over the past few years?
I think kind of this product sums up one of our biggest strategic pillars, and that's we call it universal play, because we mean we have to be device agnostic. And I think that is also in the spirit of Bluetooth and Auracast. You need to connect with everything, work with everything, but also every source, wired, wireless, yeah, as such. So I think the strategy comes together here, and with all the audio tech, all the ANC tech, everything we put in here, I think this combines into a great product, but more to come.
Okay, I like it. Watch this space. And with the JBL Tour Pro 3s, these are the state of the art for working with Auracast for this new world of device agnostic, you know, endlessly connected audio experiences. But what about folks with existing equipment?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because the Tour Pro 3 also has a receiving function for Auracast, but also a transmitter function. So you can connect then this to your legacy devices, your TV at home. You connect it, start broadcasting, standard quality for people with hearing aids or high quality for headphone users out there. Connect it to your amp or to your vinyl player, and you could walk around the house and listening to music again wirelessly with effortless, yeah, no effort at all.
JBL actually, they did it right by having the receiving function as a part of the smart charging case. Because what that does is it does allow you to have any application that can work on any phone effectively that can read what broadcasts are available even. And then you select those broadcasts and you can start listening through the earbud. So you don't have to go out and buy a brand new smartphone or a brand new anything at that point, other than the earbuds, of course. That's the beauty of that particular type of solution, is that it doesn't require the phone to have a specific capability because the capability is built directly into the earbuds and the smart charging case.
I love it. So basically, I can have this experience in the airport at home with my, you know, old vinyl player, with my legacy devices, and my interface is that gorgeous little case for the Tour Pro 3s.
Absolutely. And you can also have a cinematic experience. So you switch on your TV, you connect the case to the TV, you put on spatial sound and then head tracking again, and you don't wake the family up if you want to watch Top Gun late at night or something.
How did you know?
I don't know.
My secret is out. That is amazing, dude.
It is.
Brilliant.
It is, absolutely.
So this little case opens up a universe of possibilities with audio. Brilliant. Okay. So, Chuck, coming back to yourself, we're at the heart of IFA in Berlin. We're next to that famous broadcast tower. It's absolutely iconic. I will share photographs on social media. And the booth here, as we can hear in the background, is absolutely buzzing. You've got a packed schedule of interviews, lots of journalists, people coming from all over the world. What has the reaction been to the announcement of Auracast?
The reaction's been extremely positive. The concepts of what Auracast will actually bring to consumers and to people who appreciate audio has been very exciting. And as I mentioned before, even though Auracast has its roots in assistive listening type technologies, what we're finding from even those companies that have built those types of devices in the past, they see this opportunity and this future of audio experiences in public spaces. The way I kind of characterize it is that, you know, today when you go into a public space, you look for Wi-Fi access points for what purpose? For internet access, right? In the future, what you're going to be doing is you're going to go into these same public spaces and you're going to be looking for Bluetooth Auracast access points for an audio experience, whatever the audio experience it is that that venue wants to bring to you, whether or not it's augmented audio for cinema or theaters or, you know, silent disco or whatever type of experience you might want to have, the venues themselves now have an opportunity to draw and deliver these types of audio experiences. I'll just give you a quick note on another use case, which is sports stadiums. Sports stadiums look at, how do I continue to increase the fan experience while at the stadium itself? And so we have a number of companies that are actually looking at, how can we do live play-by-play to the people who are at the sports stadium and allow them to listen to that play-by-play. So you can broadcast that using Auracast, and you can use your own personal devices to listen to that play-by-play. I heard a gentleman talk about, he's like, oh, I'd love that for cricket, because cricket, oh, such a slow game, so boring to be there. I want to hear what's going on with the announcers and talking about it and get more immersed in the experience. And so that's a kind of an exciting new fan experience that can ultimately be delivered through Auracast broadcast audio.
Wow, it's the dream of augmented audio reality realized. Absolutely great. We do have a fair few kind of pro engineer listeners, you know, real folks who work in the field. Is there anything that they should know about Auracast or working with Auracast from your point of view?
The one thing I might identify for those developers is back to what we were talking about in terms of how do you support existing users or existing devices in the market while still trying to think about your forward-looking progress and driving experiences towards the future. So the idea that JBL, you know, came up with, which is using the smart charging case as both a transmitter that you could plug into any device, but also as a receiver to be able to see what other broadcasts are available. That's the right approach to think about, how do we provide capabilities for our existing customers, as well as how do we continue to propel them forward and set them up for the future. And that's from a developer perspective, I think that's one of the things you can think about for Auracast. The only other thing I would say is that the possibilities are endless in terms of how you potentially can use Auracast in unique ways for augmented audio experiences for a variety of people. And just kind of thinking a little bit more out of the box of, oh, broadcast. Okay, how do I use this to provide great audio experiences wherever people go?
Outstanding. So if you want to get a glimpse of the future and the state of the art, get yourself a pair of Tour Pro 3s and see where it takes you. So you know, blank canvas kind of question here. What do we think the future holds when it's powered by Bluetooth, Auracast, and Harman?
I think it's all about getting the penetration to the market, getting enough consumer products out there so people to experience it, because I think you have to experience it, and it starts with experience. But I think also the consumer electronics play a big role here, because it's in faster market penetration than public space, will be my bet. But you know best, Chuck, on that one. But I can imagine, and we have to do our job there and stay also device agnostic, allowing consumers to own different brands from different categories and play on that one, because I think that's the future for the full experience.
Yeah, I'll go back to my previous point, which was about you look for Wi-Fi access points in order to get internet access. In the future, you're going to be going into public spaces and you're going to be looking for Auracast broadcast audio hotspots, as you might say it, for audio experiences in locations. And what that does is it just opens up the possibility of providing unique experiences, unique and new experiences for people that come into your venues, whether or not it's your bar or your gym or your restaurant or your cinema or, you know, outdoor locations. One could even imagine and think through the fact that there's digital signage everywhere. And digital signage is a visual experience, but there's no audio experience associated with that. Now you have this basically unlimited ability to add an audio experience to anything that maybe is a visual experience. And now you've got multimedia approaches to how you address and you interact with people as they're milling about through their daily life, effectively.
Wow. This really does open up a world of possibilities. But we are going to come to perhaps the most important question of the entire podcast. And it's one that we ask to all of our VIP interviewees. And this is to choose a track for our Tidal playlist. And it can be related to what we've just spoken about, or just something that you like to rock out to on your Auracast and favorite JBL device. So I'm going to come to your good self first, Chuck.
The song I thought about was, it's called Raise Your Glass by Pink.
Ah, nice.
It really gets you going. Get you up in the morning, get you moving, whether or not you're running or working out or just needing a little bit of additional motivation. I actually really like that song. It just really gets me going.
Excellent. Great choice. Thank you very much, Chuck. And your good self, Mikael, what song are you going to... Song number three for the playlist now.
It was an easy one, but a difficult one at the same time. So I had to go in the spirit of the tour and the audio quality and go for a song that called Temptation by Diana Krall. And it's an amazing song. And it sounds so good on the Tour Pro 3 with the dual drivers and the audio tuning there. So yeah, have a listen, enjoy.
Hell yeah, looking forward to that. I love that song and I will be listening to them on the Tour Pro 3s for sure. Excellent choices both. My own contribution to the playlist this time is the Stereo MCs and Connected. So thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Chuck Sabin.
Thank you.
And Mikael Herrier.
Thank you.
Listeners, don't forget to subscribe, comment, and share Audio Talks with your friends and family. If you're enjoying the Audio Talk series of podcasts, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts and leave a nice review. It really does mean a lot, and it helps new listeners to get to know about the magnificently connected guests we speak to in every episode, just like Chuck and Mikael. For more exclusive content, some behind-the-scenes goodies, and maybe even some competitions, connect with us over on the Instagram. You can find us at Audio Talks Podcast. We'll be back soon for some more groundbreaking Audio Talks. See you next time.